2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome on in, everybody. It is Unrivaled right here at 97.5 1280 The Zone. The Zone Sports Network. Alex Keery here. Former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell here in front of me. It's a Friday edition of the program, and you've got the Jazz tipping off. Just a couple of hours here, you're going to have the Utah Jazz pregame show coming up. At the top of the hour, Tim Lacombe, Jake Scott going to be jumping into the studio here. We've got a lot still to get through, though. By the way, Scott, I was going to say, Jazz are favored by 11 in this game. Another double
digit. Why are you doing this? Why do you do this every? Well, it's,
oh, I'm sorry. It's
you're that
now.
Announcer that goes, this guy hasn't missed a free throw in 5 years. Like, you know that every game is an adventure for the Jazz right now.
It's an adventure. I love how you put it like it was a Disney ride.
Yeah.
Hey,
that's how
you pitch
game's
it. If you're trying to sell tickets, you just go, come on down to see the Utah Jazz. Every game's an adventure. What ride is that at Disney where they do that? Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Big, yeah.
Boom.
It's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Oh, my gosh. Joining us right now, though, to talk NFL, someplace where we feel much more comfortable rather than talking about the Jazz right now. it's just a tough thing for us. Nate Davis, covering the NFL for USA Today. Nate, thanks for being with us on the program.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. I'm making a real concession talking to Scott since I grew up a Jets fan, but, you know, it's all love here.
It feels the same way.
I think you kind of would make a concession to everyone being a Jets fan. I mean, it's probably hard to talk to anybody.
that's true. I can hardly blame the 90s on you, Scott. You know?
Well, look.
what do you think of Zach Wilson then? I mean, what's the feeling about him right now in New York?
Well, I mean, I think it's year one, obviously. I mean, he played – I guess you could say better towards the end. I mean, fewer mistakes, but certainly, you know, not enough to justify all the what I always thought were ridiculous. You know, this guy has Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes potential and all that. I mean, that's a lot to put on anybody. But, you know, in fairness to him, I mean, they gotta build the program up around him, and that's what Joe Douglas has said he's going to do. And there's nice pieces like Elijah Moore and some, you know, Corey Davis, and they should have a lot more, you know, free agent money. And then I think it's 4 of the top 80 picks this year, including 2 in the top 10. So, but let's give Zach some time, which, you know, the Jets are famous for not doing for anybody, but we'll see how things pan out for him.
Oh, Jets fans, the clarion call everywhere. We'll see how that pans out this next year for the Jets. Well, Nate, one of the things that if you go over to USA Today, you can read Nate's article about this divisional playoff round and with the impact of guys who have been missing time with injuries. Everybody thinks, I think, Derrick Henry off the top of their heads with the Titans, but who else could be making some impacts this weekend in those divisional games that maybe we don't think a lot about?
Well, I mean, that's the interesting thing about the Packers. I mean, I think, you know, probably they're the consensus, you know, kind of number one team going into the playoffs, which isn't to say that they're not beatable, but, you know, they could get so many guys back. You know, they activated Darius Smith today. So it looks like they'll get a little bit more edge pressure, you know, this weekend, which won't be a bad thing against Jimmy Garoppolo. And then Randall Cobb, you know, is coming back. And it looks like they could have, you know, Jair Alexander available. You know, David Bakhtiari, they're all pro left tackle, finally played in week 18. He's questionable. But I mean, to think that a team that good has that many potential reinforcements coming back, could really make them scary. I mean, there probably is too much of a good thing if that's going to kind of disrupt the chemistry. I mean, I think five guys they've got. Billy Turner, their right tackle, is another one. But, you know, you're talking about the team with tied for the best record in the league, and they can get all these kind of Pro Bowl caliber player guys back. That could be a big advantage for them, provided it's not, you know, too much too soon, I guess.
Well, the top seed in the AFC is the Titans, and it looks like they're going to get Derrick Henry back. What kind of impact do you think he can have this weekend if he's able to play?
Yeah, no, he's been activated. You know, it sounds like, you know, from what he said the other day, he feels pretty good, you know, despite the foot surgery. You know, I think probably we shouldn't necessarily expect 125 yards and two touchdowns, but if he can play, I mean, his presence does a lot just by having him on the field. I mean, if you're Cincinnati, you got to respect the fact that he's there. You're probably going to move another defender up in the box. And even if you're not going to give him the ball, you know, 20 times, just making that safety creep forward or whatever makes life easier for Julio Jones and A.J. Brown, you know, two other guys they haven't had the entire season, particularly Julio Jones. So they're kind of getting healthy at the right time. And the other part of that story, too, is that Cincinnati's defensive front is really backed up. Losing Ogunjobi, Mike Daniels isn't going to play, you know, Trey Hendricks coming off the concussion. So it looks like, you know, Tennessee could have a real mismatch there. And I would still expect Deontay Foreman, who played so well in Henry's absence, to get a healthy chunk of work. And, you know, I'm not saying he's Derrick Henry, but I mean, he had a really stabilizing effect on offense. So there's a lot to like about the Titans going into that game, I think.
One of the things we're watching with this game, of course, or with this weekend of divisional games, and the divisional round is always fun because it's still like a lot of football games. The quality increases, hopefully, from what we saw in those wild card games. But what's the team that maybe you're looking at that you go, they've got a path maybe that could get them you know, into either the conference championship game, where you might not necessarily see a team like the Bengals or whomever, but who's a team that you see maybe going a little bit further than everybody's giving them credit for?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, this has been a season where it's been, I feel like it's been packed so close all year. There hasn't been a super team. I mean, we touched on the Packers a little bit. You could certainly see, you know, them losing to the 49ers, but I think that everyone would favor them. I guess two teams I would touch on is, you know, Buffalo to me was a team that played the best last weekend. You know, to beat up the New England Patriots the way they did, and to kind of, I mean, it sounds like they're almost kind of proud that they had the adversity they had and went through it. And you know, Sean McDermott's kind of, you know, fostered such a family atmosphere up there. I mean, I think that's a tight crew, and I think that's kind of the proverbial, maybe they're not the best team, but they might be the hottest team right now. So I think that they're certainly one to watch. And basically, you know, the line tells you that's basically an even game, despite being at Arrowhead, where they already won once this year. And then I'd say probably keep an eye out on the Rams. I mean, it definitely didn't help to have Andrew Whitworth out. But, you know, when we look at the other side, and, you know, it's you know, obviously foolish to count out Tom Brady or anything. But at least, you know, drilling down on this game, I mean, if Tristan Wirfs isn't right, if Ryan Jensen has any issues, you know, there on his offensive line, to have those kind of issues when Aaron Donald and Leonard Floyd and Von Miller are coming to town, I mean, that could really change the tenor of that game. So I think the Rams and Bills probably are two teams that aren't favored, even though all the lines are pretty close, but maybe that those are two areas to look for a possible upset.
Joe Burrow, number one pick a year ago, wins a playoff game, first time in 31 years for the Cincinnati Bengals. You know, what kind of factor does he play into this, and how do you see him playing this week in this divisional round?
Well, I mean, I think he showed, you know, in his second year, I mean, he's every bit as cool and kind of unflappable as he was in college. I mean, it's really, you know, his confidence with the cigars and the rose-colored glasses after the game, and just kind of the no-big-deal attitude. I mean, you got to think that none of this is too big for him. I mean, particularly with how we saw him play that 2019 season with LSU. I mean, he's not going to get cowed by the playoffs. That being said, I think that the thing he's got to watch out for is again, I think he's the most sacked quarterback in the league this season. And you're talking about going against the Tennessee team, where we don't talk about their defense nearly enough, and certainly their pass rush, and guys like Harold Landry and Bud Dupree and Jeffrey Simmons, who's one of the top, you know, two or three interior linemen in the league. So if they can keep Joe Burrow fairly clean, I mean, they've certainly got a great shot to win that game. You know, that being said, I mean, probably the Achilles heel for Cincinnati is the offensive line. You know, they've got some, not all their starters there. And like I said, I think Burrow got sacked like 51 times this year. So if that becomes an issue, if they have trouble running the ball, it could be a long day for him. But certainly I don't expect him to shrink for the moment.
Nate Davis covers the NFL for USA Today. You can read him there and follow him on Twitter as well. I look at this weekend. I can't help but see the effect that Tom Brady has on people who prepare for him, as well as, you know, whatever team he's at seems to do so well. But is Tom Brady more likely to consider retirement if he wins a Super Bowl or if he loses and gets close? What are the odds that this guy, you know, just can? I mean, when does he give it up? Is it when he just knows physically he can't do it, or do you think that there are plans for him to retire maybe after this season?
Well, I mean, I don't want to say I can crawl inside his head and tell you, and I haven't, you know, had the time, you know, with covering the league and trying to keep track of two young kids to watch a documentary, you know, series yet on ESPN. But I think what you're, you know, what you say, I don't think Tom Brady's the guy that's going to want to leave the game without going out on top. So I would think it's more likely if they win another Super Bowl that it's likelier that he would retire in that scenario, as opposed to if they fall short of that. That being said, it is amazing to me that, you know, when you think back to guys like Warren Moon and Peyton Manning and Brett Favre, where the end kind of happened so suddenly, you know, when they got up there in age. I mean, it seemed like the fall off happened within the span of a season. We just haven't seen that from Brady. You know, he was never the strongest arm guy in the league, but it just doesn't look like he's lost really anything. I mean, 43 more touchdowns this season. I mean, he's probably going to be the MVP runner up. So, I mean, he's always kind of stated that 45 was when he wanted to play to. I mean, he'll be 45 in training camp next year. So, you know, I think it depends on how this goes. I think if they did a repeat bid, I haven't looked at the Bucs cap situation and kind of, you know, figured out yet how much they might lose or what they could bring in next year. But I think better shot he retires if they win than if they lose. I think better shot he comes back.
So you talk about Buffalo being a hot team, maybe not the best team, but certainly a hot team, and they were excellent last week. We haven't mentioned Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, and I mean, where do they fit in? Can they go into Buffalo? Can they beat the Pat or the Bills?
Oh, I mean, for sure they can. I mean, this is a, you know, rematch of last year, and I feel like the AFC Championship game last year was pretty close for kind of a half, and the Chiefs, right, you know, pulled away. I think that wound up 38-24. But I mean, certainly, I think this is a bit of a toss up kind of game. You just kind of wonder, is this kind of like one of those, you know, we've seen for so many years where, you know, the 49ers had to get past the Cowboys, and the Cowboys, you know, the Packers had to get past the Cowboys down the road, and that kind of thing. I mean, are the Chiefs kind of the hill that the Bills have to climb? And, you know, the weather's not really going to be a factor for two cold weather teams. I mean, one of the things that amazed me so much about Buffalo last week was just how many points and yards they piled up in that single degree weather. And I really kind of thought, you know, as hard as Josh Allen throws the ball, they'd be clanging off his receiver's hands, but they just looked unfazed. They found a running game here. I mean, I don't think anyone talks about the fact that they're the number one team in total defense, scoring defense, pass defense. I mean, there's really not a weakness now that Devin Singletary's gotten going. So I don't know where the hole is on this team. That being said, I think if you had to pick one quarterback, you know, in the playoffs, I guess you could pick Brady for his experience, but I mean, it's really hard to bet against Patrick Mahomes, and he's never lost in the playoffs to a quarterback not named Tom Brady. He's never lost in the divisional round. So something's got to give here. We'll see, but I mean, I think we could probably all agree that's, you know, the fourth of the four games this weekend, Bills to Kansas City, that's going to be the one I think everyone's most excited to see what happens.
All right, there it is, the old breakdown of the divisional playoffs this weekend in the NFL. Nate Davis for USA Today, thanks for being with us on the program, man.
All right, thanks, Paul. Appreciate it.
J-E-T-S.
Did you see Mr. Jet made an appearance with Tom Brady on TV at the same time? That was very nice of him. I thought that was nice. Have you seen those commercials? It's almost Super Bowl quality, Scott.
No, like, I don't watch TV.
Come on. You stream everything. My favorite is when I get the Jazz will have just lost which is what happened the last couple of games.
Wait, which game is that? Which of the many
the Jazz
recently?
Will have just lost. And depending on the night, sometimes Scott, I know when Scott has packed it in when the game was over for him, where he was like, "This is, I'm not watching the rest of this." Because I'll get a text that says, "Dude, you got to watch this show, fill in the blank on HBO Max." Everybody doesn't have all this former NFL money to be subscribing to HBO Max all the time, Scott.
I just wonder where that voice comes from. Though you go to wide and put the HBO Max.
I didn't make you like HBO Max. I'm going to give you a lisp. Oh, my goodness. No, but Tom Brady did a commercial where he calls the jet guy, and the guy's phone, he looks at it and says, worst person ever, or worst human being ever, or whatever. And he goes, oh, my gosh, why are you calling me? And he's like, I'm going to make – it was like something about for crypto, right? And then he's like, all right, count me in. And then they go, who is that? And he goes, it's my mom. Because it's like he's embarrassed to talk to Tom Brady. Tell his Jets friends he's talking to Tom Brady. Come on. That's a good quality commercial. Remember when we used to talk about how commercials were quality?
Yeah.
We only do that for the Super
Bowl.
So
it got you. That's what you're saying. You were amused by it.
I was amused. I don't even like Tom Brady. I don't like the Jets guy. Doesn't matter. Where are we going here? We're going to take a break. Oh, we got the NFL roundup next. Jazz versus Detroit Pistons. As I'm hearing the music getting ready in the arena here, they're polishing the seats up for everybody getting ready for this game tonight with the Detroit Pistons coming to town. Can the Jazz – it's now a 13-point game, by the way. It was 11 was one of the early lines. It's moved to a 13-point game. Oof. Can the Jazz get a double-digit win? Not just win, a double-digit win over the Pistons. I think it's going to happen. We'll come back and we'll chat a little bit more. Speaking of Tom Brady, this is a guy who, in our NFL roundup, I want to talk about every – it seems like he will just find motivation, find a chip on his shoulder somewhere where the latest one has come. And Scott gives us an explanation as to how Tom Brady can keep finding that extra motivation to be the guy that everyone's counting out. Stay right here with us. It's Unrivaled 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.